And the very first radio officer for Burlington County was a guy by the name of Herb Brooks. He was K2BG. And there was another gentleman, his name was Tom Bethel. He was after Herb. And then there was a guy by the name of Hank Twitchell. And Hank Twitchell ran it for a while. But let's get back to, they organized the club, and they met in the CD rooms, which was where the Morristown, the Burlington County Radio Club met, around the corner in the auxiliary police station. And Jack's been in there, and I know Gene was in there. And it was set up, they had 40 chairs, so they could only have 40 members of the club originally. That's all they could have. In 1958, I came to a meeting, and I was told that I was about eighth in line to join. And I came with W.F. Middleton, who was K2YBN, a good friend of mine, good friend of Jack's. In fact, I think you got your license through him. And then in 49, I was, or in 59, I came with him a couple of meetings. In 1961 or 62, I came to a meeting, and they had this little black box sitting there, and Herb Brooks brought it in, a little receiver about that big, a gutless wonder. Everybody, they laughed at that thing until they turned it on. And I'll tell you, here's a bunch of hams that have been in the business for some of them 20, 25 years at that time, guys with two-letter calls that were original. And they turned that thing on, and when he tuned across CW, they all, ears picked up, oh my God. And then they tuned it across sideband, and everybody's mouth dropped wide open. I mean, nobody believed you could, the only way you, up until that time, you could tune sideband was to beat frequency, oscillate it, and try and listen to it. So, and I went out and bought a Drake 2B right for my birthday right after that. So, that's when I got my first piece of Drake equipment.
It had fewer items inside than a regular tube table radio.
Yeah. It was, but my God, could it hear? Now we get back to Matt Bergen. Matt Bergen had two children. The boy was Dr. Bergen. His call was K2KED. His daughter was Peg Bergen, and she was K2INQ. I'll talk about both of them for a second. The doctor lost his life in World War II, and when they incorporated this in 1954, they applied for a license, a memorial call, which was K2KED. And that also became the CD call for Burlington County. And we'll get to that in a few minutes because that's a real rhubarb. But the thing was, and then Peg Bergen, who was the nurse in charge of pediatrics at the Burlington County Hospital, she had written a number of books on child care and on prenatal things and what have you that were published by the federal government in many languages. And she went, she'd take a sabbatical for a month or 6 weeks, and Matt, her father, would go with her to foreign countries, and Matt would find a ham, and he says, you know, when you work CW, there's no accent, so they don't know you're not from that country. So he'd work. I remember him telling about working in Spain, and the guy says, Matt says, a band's crowd. Of course, it's those in the AM days. He said, well, just go down to CW band and call CQ there. And he says, well, you're out of the band. He says, you're not out of the band in Spain. So, but she traveled in France. Portugal, Spain, Morocco, Tunisia, Greece, and I think it was 11 countries she traveled to on various trips to lecture. And Frank said it was something to have a daughter that was more famous than him. And she later became, went back to school and became a doctor. And she worked out of Cherry Hill Hospital for a number of years and finally passed on with cancer. The last time I saw Peg was down at Cape May. She owned a houseboat. You know, there's down there along the wharf, there's about six or seven houseboats that are tied up along the kind of, and I come walking along with a friend of mine. We'd been fishing and looking for a place to eat, and she yelled at me, and it was her on her houseboat. And, of course, it was painted pink and blue.
And her brother.
Let's see, what else? Well, that's about it.
Her brother.
Her brother that was a doctor.
Yeah, he died. We named the club.
Yeah, we named the call after. Call
he
after.
Said that.
Yeah, I said that. Now, we had, this club was the CD club for Burlington County, and the club rooms and the CD rooms were in the old police station in the basement, as I said before. They had it was a room that was like this with an L off it, and this was where they had the booths, or what do you call them?
Arels.
Yeah. They had two 2-meter stations, a 6-meter station, a 10-meter station, but the prize down there, they had a 500-watt, 2-meter FM transmitter.
It was as big as that thing in the corner there.
Yeah. And that thing, they didn't need a repeater with that.
AM.
It was an AM, actually, yeah. And they didn't need a repeater with that thing. Well, in 1961, Hank Twitchell, who was an engineer, got moved up to Boston. And so he had to fall out. Now, the guy that was in charge of CD for the county was a guy by the name of Ed McGuire. Ed McGuire was a Democrat, and he owned the apartment houses right around the corner here, and the ones down just before you get to where Gene Bond used to live, among other things, in a store on the main street of town. He named George Ryan as the radio officer. George Ryan did not belong to this club. He belonged to SJRA. And there was one hell of a wrangle about that, because now they had to go get another call because they wouldn't let him use K2KED. And the guys in the club were quite upset about it. And that lasted for about a year and a half. That was a real rhubarb. But we had some members of this club that were infamous or famous, so to speak. We had Bill Ford, who had been mayor of Mount Holly. We had a guy by the name of Merle Bean.
Old pirate.
He was an old pirate, but can you want to tell about him, Jack?
Yeah. Merle Bean, K2 Bravo X-ray,
yeah,
was a Signal Corps captain in World War II. Prior to World War II, he had been a ham all along. He was the ham in the United States who had contact with the Italian general.
I can't think.
His name just ran out of my head. Yep. Di Nobili.
That's
like
right.
Like the Guinea Stinkers, the Di Nobilis, and they were down on the ice in the polar regions with their dirigible, and odd. You know how weird radio propagation could be. Merle was the only guy who could receive their signals, and he relayed, and they brought in the rescue mission through Merle up here. Okay, and So much for that. He was well known. Anyhow, as a captain in the Signal Corps in World War II, when the Italians turncoated and became our allies, he was in there in communications, and he met some of the Italian hands. And as soon as they knew who he was,
King
Victor Emmanuel made him a knight in the House of Savoy. Cavaliere di Casa Savoy. And he had a giant certificate, bigger than that green thing up there.
Oh, yeah.
It was engraved, beautiful.
Gold leaf?
No, that might have been on the frame.
Yeah.
But he was literally knighted for helping save General DiNobili and his crew. Mm. And that was Merle Bean. And I know he wasn't married.
No.
But the women flocked to him. He looked like
an old
grizzled pirate.
He'd been divorced.
But he would really, he didn't kiss the Blarney Stone. He must have bitten a chunk out. But that's Merle Bean.
He was a real character. I knew him in this club and in another organization, and he was something else. We had a gentleman by the name of Aubrey Haynes.
No, let me get back. Let me throw in something on Merle Bean.
Okay.
What kind of character he was. His QSL card was a male plug for receptacle and a female receptacle with a skirt chasing each other across, and he said, always looking for a contact. Maria has one of those somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah. Aubrey Haynes, and we have a president by the name of Haynes. Are you any relation to him?
No.
Okay. Aubrey Haynes.
Aubrey Haynes, only about half his size.
Yeah. But he wasn't too big. He lived, if you went down past Moorestown High School on by Ott's, you came to the next street after you went by Ott's and made a left.
Haynesville Road. Yeah. I know.
Okay. And named after him. You got almost to 130. There was three houses in there, and he was in the first house you came to. And he had a beam. I've never seen another one like it. It was a homemade beam, and he'd taken an aluminum ladder that was 16 feet long, I think, and used that as a centerpiece.
As the boom.
And he had not, stuff like this as an antenna. He had irrigation pipe.
Broadbanded.
He had irrigation pipe, and it was a three-element beam. Had no traps in it, because I don't know how you'd make traps in the damn thing. But it was three elements on 20 meters. And I'll tell you, when he put that thing on the air, and it worked mostly CW, when he put that damn thing on the air, he got a contact. I'll tell you that. I don't know how he kept it up there.
He's still on the same guy.
He was a nice gentleman. Uncle Herb Brooks lived in Palmyra. He lived... We had Jack Heisey, who was a member of the club at one time. He's still a member. Fuzzy Lumps. Then you went to the next block, you had Herb Brooks. And then when you went a little farther up, you had Charlie Rammer. You had three guys on the same block. And Herb Brooks says, the first guy on the band is the one that gets it. Herb Brooks could carry on a conversation with you and listen to CW and answer the guy at the same time.
And he didn't use filters. It was this wide.
Yeah.
And I'd say, which one are you listening to? He said, well, you're in a conversation, a room full of conversations. You only listen to one. And he said, I'm just listening to one.
That's right. Oh, and he learned his code. In
Signal Corps.
railroad telegraph.
Telegraphy.
And he said that you could tell how long a guy had been working with. If you go into a radio room in the train, along the train tracks, if he had I don't know why he would pick out a tobacco can
on the sounder.
It was on the sounder.
Prince Albert can.
Yeah, Prince Albert can. Sure. And he says, if the guy had one, you knew he'd been on the radio a long time because his hearing was going. Oh, God. Anybody know what the dues for this club was for the first few years?
$2.
Nope.
It was
$1.50, wasn't it? Nope. First dues were $1 a year.
I think you overcharged me.
Huh? It's right in the book.
Until 1971.
No, 1971 it was $1. Then it was $2. And we've been going up ever since. We moved to these quarters, do you know what year?
No.
1980.
We've been here that long?
Wow, yes. 29 years.
These church has been good to us.
Yeah, very good. And the way we got into this church was a guy by the name of Paul Matlap.
Charlie has a question.
Go ahead, Charlie.
I didn't know if you knew Merle Beam. I knew him before he moved down into Mount Holly area.
Uh-huh.
And he was a captain, as you said, and he only lived about a mile and a half from this laboratory at Fort Monmouth,
yeah.
They had a big laboratory where they developed a lot of radios. And he was instrumental in producing the walkie-talkie type 2 meters and VHF radios for the Army. And I knew him, and I had a lot of family members that knew him very well when I didn't know him before they did.
Yeah.
He lived on a street in Hintontown, New Jersey before he moved down here. It was called Railroad Avenue, and it did have a railroad track right down the middle of it.
Yeah.
And they went on into Fort Monmouth from this old Central Railroad that came down from Jersey City and all up that way. But Merle Beam was a very nice man to talk to, really. Everybody didn't like him, but I had a few relatives that knew him well. And for the fact that he knew that the relatives, and he was very nice to me. But I wanted to mention the fact that he did do a lot of study and development on the VHF equipment that the Army had, the walkie-talkies and whatnot that they wound up with at the end of World War II.
Walkie talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Small ones do that.
When we moved to this organization, Paul Matlack was the guy that was instrumental in getting us in here. Paul Matlack put the sound system into the church. And because he did that, he got us in here.
W2QXG.
Q is Q, right.
He maintained the radios on the tugboats and stuff. And any time of the day or night, he'd be pulled out, and he'd get down to an end of a pier. They'd tell him where, and that tug could swing in,
and
he'd jump in, and then they'd take off, and he'd work on their radios while they're running up and down.
And he said, and sometimes it would be a day before he could get off the damn tugboat.
He was no spring chicken.
He was no spring chicken either. Now, he lived. He had his business on Church Street.
It's still there.
It's still there. His son, Tim. Runs it. Just before you got to him, on the left-hand side, there were two members of this club. There were Juliet and Don Hyde. She worked nothing but CW, and she could hold in there with the best of them. I'll tell you, she could operate 40 words a minute without any trouble. I mean, the only reason I say she was that good was I sat and listened to her do it. Now, my wife liked CW, and she had a call with WB2DET and gave it up. But she used to work, Julia Hyde, and she'd slow down to work Sheila, and then keep, and I'd listen to her, she'd keep picking up. And I hate to admit it, my wife was a much better CW operator than I ever was. But they moved, after Don retired, they moved to northern Michigan, of all places to retire to, up in the Copper Valley section of northern Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula. And I have talked to them a couple of times on 80 meters back 20, 25 years ago. I haven't, of course, they were much older than me at the time, so... Everybody was much older than me at that time. But they were original members of this, of the first bunch that went into this club. You had Chris, oh God, what was his name? Used to run with Chris Davis. Joe knows Chris Davis, right? Do you remember Chris Davis, Joe?
Yes.
I don't know what Chris did, but he used to come with Herb Brooks all the time. They were kind of...
buddies.
Buddies, yeah. And he was a good radio operator. But this bunch, the original bunch, and he could read them off to you. There's about, what, 20 in there that the original when they...
The incorporation papers?
Yeah, in the incorporation papers.
Matt Berrigan, Herb Brooks, Juliet High, Don High, Eric Johnson, Leroy Long, Hank Twitchell, Charles Wright, Chris Davis, Paul Eisenberg, Bill Fisher, Walt Ween, Walt Phillips, Harry Miller, Doug Allen, Margaret Berrigan, John Westman, Aubrey Haynes.
Aubrey Haynes, yeah.
How many Allens are on there?
How many what?
One Allen, right?
Yeah.
He's the lawyer.
Yeah, he's the
right
lawyer.
Right after I moved in where I am, I'm on the air after a while, and I get this thundering voice of doom. Who the hell are you? Apparently, he lived right there on going on that street going into Mount Holly.
Yeah.
Burlington, Mount Holly Road. I don't know what it's
High
called.
Street.
High Street.
Yeah.
By Allen was his name.
Yeah, by Allen.
Yeah. And apparently he'd never heard anyone else in the area. He thought it was being imposed upon.
Now he's laughing.
You know where he lived?
I went down to Clearwater one time at Christmas time. I put on 2 meters, took a 2 meter HT. I went on 5.2 and put out a general call. And this guy came back to me. And he wanted to know where I was from, and knew into the two area. He had a two call, and it turned out it was by Allen.
No,
and
I was happy when he disappeared. I could.
Yeah, he went down to and was living in Clearwater.
That was fun.
But that's the only time I ever talked to him. I saw him at meetings a few times before that, but that's the only time I ever talked to him on the air. The dues in this club have gone from $1 a year to $20 a year. That's 20. But the price of equipment has doubled, tripled, and quadrupled at the same time, so we can't really complain.
And that's in 55 plus years.
55 plus years, right. Yeah. This club was... at that time, there were three radio clubs in the area. There was South Jersey, there was this one, and there was at one time it was the Levittown Radio Club.
Then it was the Rancocas Valley.
And then it became the Rancocas radio. Valley Radio Club.
Was WTMX there?
Huh?
Wasn't WTMX in there?
You had one in Maple
Shade. Walt Reed and Bill Fisher.
Yeah,
that was
one in Maple Shade.
Came
West
Jersey too, Jack.
And we had a supply of hams here that was phenomenal because of RCA. Most of them had some connection. Not everybody. I talked about W.F. Middleton, Fent Middleton, who was in the insurance man on Main Street of Morristown. And I was in the gas station next door. I had a farm out here in Mount Laurel, and I used to get gas next door to his office, and I found out he was a ham, and I wanted to renew my license. And so I went to Walt and got my license renewed and got back on the air.
Yeah, in those days you had to certify you were on the air at least 4 hours during the year.
Yeah. So
I think some people lie.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I had a school teacher that was teaching in Friends School that come out to the farm and go on the air so he could get his 4 hours in. And I'd been trying my damnedest to work South Dakota. I needed South Dakota to work all 48 states. And the first call, he gets South Dakota. And I couldn't get the mic away from him. Oh, God. But I tell you, I've enjoyed amateur radio. I've been with it since 1951, and I've had a ball doing it. It's kept me out of trouble and in trouble, depending on who you talk to.
He doesn't tell you that our field days, when we used to have beer out there, and I'm not going to mention anyone's name, two of us would be at an HF station, and one of them would have so much beer that he'd fall asleep under the table while I operated. And I wouldn't mention anybody.
You wouldn't mention any names, but that was me. But what you got to remember was I'd been up milking cows until I got up at it was in the barn before 4 in the morning, and this was about 11 o'clock at night.
My first field day was on his farm. That's where we had our field day.
Yeah. It's now better known as Tricia Meadows.
Bringing things up to date?
I will go into one other thing. Our first... We've had some good Christmas parties. I'm going to say Christmas parties because... That's what basically, I mean, you could call them a holiday party, but they're
still Christmas parties.
They're Christmas parties. At one time, we went to the Grange, and Jack told a story earlier about going to the Grange. We had a guy by the name of Franklin Nixon, who was mentioned here, who was
the mayor of Southampton.
He was mayor of Southampton. He was
Franklin
an insurance.
Franklin Nixon.
He was a. Quite a guy.
Big mover and shaker.
Yeah.
And the Grand Master of the Grange.
And the Grand Master.
We didn't find out that they hated having us, and we had been there year after year. Until
he died.
He died. And when we went to make our reservations, there was nothing available for us. They didn't like our independent way of eating.
Well, yeah, and the food was, you couldn't add, I mean, it was a sit-down turkey dinner with pies,
if you didn't
vegetables.
Get enough to eat, you were
Oh, my
trying.
God. I mean, the tables groaned when they set it down.
And then we'd go upstairs and we'd have regular programs after the dinner and...
We'd sing Christmas carols.
And Herb Brooks. Herb Brooks worked for Perla Block or some kind of bookkeeper or something.
Yeah.
And Perla Block apparently was owned by the guys, you may have seen them in The Sopranos. And he would bring in, they would give us gifts.
Oh, yes.
And they had all kinds of nice gifts for everybody, courtesy of...
Pearl Block. That's right.
And another thing you didn't mention, remember the Japanese ham we had?
Yes.
He was at RCA, working for a couple of years, And then he went back to Japan. Well, it was, we were here.
Yeah.
Because a couple of days before he left, we had a meeting. And he came in with his wife and his two daughters, dressed traditionally in Japanese traditional clothing. And they were delightful. They gave us typical Japanese individually wrapped presents. It was just so wonderful to have the guy.
Yeah.
And that's a memorable occasion.
Yeah. And then we also had a gentleman from Pakistan at one time.
Yeah. Of course, we had some donkeys too, but we won't talk about that.
Yeah. We've had Irish guests. In fact, we have an Irishman who has got the Jersey Devil Award.
Yeah. Well, you guys gave it away.
Well, he worked you.
Yeah, I know. But actually, we have EI8EM that Joe mentioned. He was a member of our club for years.
Yes.
And when I work him, he says, "Hiya, Jack," even now.
Yeah, he still does. And by the way, Joe has an Irish call, and I have an Irish call.
Yeah,
and then I go India 4, India Delta.
And EIHGT.
And I'm his QSL manager.
Wonderful.
Of course, once those two guys got their Irish licenses, they changed the rules. See, before, all you had to do was show them you had Irish ancestry. How did you get in?
I don't have any Irish ancestry. My wife's Irish. Wrote the Irish exam when it was 20 questions, essay type with diagrams.
And your club was related.
And you had to answer them all correct. Either pass or fail.
Is it like here?
Now it's
1 year non-renewable.
No, it's a 1 year renewable here. £10 to renew it. In fact, I got my notice in the mail today, my Irish license
to renew it.
To renew it. And I have a nephew who was Echo India 4 Fox, Echo India 7 Fox Victor Bravo.
The club has been very fortunate. There were times when we shrunk to didn't know whether we were going to last. And each time we get a small active group moves in, like now, what's his face here?
Frank.
Bonnie, Jack, Bob, Ray, have joined the club, and they didn't all join together, but the couple joined and brought them in and reactivated the club. Before that, it was Harb Lil and him and his bunch from South Jersey, around Haddonfield, and then the M2WFN and a couple.
Yeah.
So we've been fortunate, the club is working real well now. Our actual membership is about 30 people at the moment.
And you see,
we've got 20 people here.
Yeah,
that's good membership.
Yeah. Well, the thing that does it is this, and nobody believes me.
Yeah.
What? You have to get
set up at the table.
Set around the table?
Don't set them in rows as if they're in a classroom, or let them sit at individual tables. Everyone here is in the meeting.
Jack, what about field day? It used to be in the woods, right?
Don't talk about field day, because it's... We have 10 minutes to clear out of here.
Okay, I'll make one thing. We've had a number of field days. We've been on a farm over here where...
Carson's
farm. And in a lightning storm, there were 4 bales of hay tucked together on the field. And guess what? There were 4 bales of hay out there. Out there burning, and our antennas were untouched.
Look at the field day not too long ago, where it was raining, we were up to our ankles in the water, and some of the tents were floating.
It was only 3 years ago.
We were still continuing. In fact, I didn't pay any attention until somebody came in and said,
What's your feet doing on the water?
Huh? No, I forget what the hell the guy came in for. Some reporter.
Yeah, we had a reporter.
The rest of you stinkers were down in the chow tent, and I was the only one operating that mess.
I went out with the wife. We drove along the gravel road to get there. Water was coming out of the field and swept us almost into the ditch. The wife kept right on going and brought me home.
Matt?
Yes.
When did the club get K2TD?
Okay, the club got K2TD in 19.
You've got the letter there.
You got the letter.
I don't.
I gave it to you. One of the reasons we went to K2TD, beside honoring Tom DeMeese,
1996.
That K2KED was impossible. Either on phone or on CW. You know, there's no way kangaroos eating daisies. It was awful. And nobody would ever. Every contact was at least four or five exchanges.
Exchanges.
When you could go to Kilo 2 Tango Delta. So, man, you were in heaven.
So we changed it to K2TD in
96.
96, yeah.
And
Frank made a suggestion we ought to try and get, if it's not being in use, try to get K2KED for the Moorestown Police Station.
And it's not in use.
What was that?
If it's not in use.
It's not.
Anybody who would ask voluntarily for it has got a rock in that head.
Well, we got a KC2 PXU right now. So.
Well, that's nice, a lot better than KED.
It sounds like it'll
sound awesome.
Just
think of it. Kilo 2 Kilo Echo Delta.
Yeah, KD. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. All right, that pretty much winds.
You're down to 8 minutes.
Okay, that's it. We'll call it quits.
Okay.
Thank you very much.